I'm going to speak tonight on our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We have certain promises that he's made to us. And these promises are the things that you and I lean on. And the first thing that I must emphasize to you is that Jesus Christ came down here to represent the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and my Father are one. And the Father, which is the first person, or who is the first person of the eternal Trinity, sent the Son. And Jesus said, the words that I give unto you, my Father hath given them to me to give to you. And there's this very, very close relationship between Jesus and the Father. Now, this relationship that we have to the Father is the closest possible relationship that we can have with anybody. Jesus Christ said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And if you have me, you have the Father. And he that doesn't love me doesn't love my Father either. But if you do love me, then you love my Father. The two are inseparably tied together. And what I propose to do this evening is to speak of this Father in relationship to you and me. To speak of the Father in heaven, of this relationship which he has to you and me. The first thing I must point out is that he is not your Father until you're born again. He's our Creator, but he's not your Father until you become his child. And you do not become his child until you believe in Jesus. And at that moment, we have a Heavenly Father. Now in this Sermon on the Mount, we have our Lord Jesus Christ speaking of our Father, and he gives us the Lord's Prayer. But in this Sermon on the Mount, he reminds us that our Father in heaven knows of all the needs that we have. The Gentiles seek after these things, but the Father knows that we have needs of these things. And so we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And there's not a one of you here tonight that hasn't had some food today. I don't know what you had for breakfast, but I know I usually have some cereal with some bananas on it, and I look at the bananas, like, where'd it come from Mexico or Brazil? But every one of us have had something to eat today, and where did you get it? Your Father gave it to you. That's all. Your Father provided it for you. Give us this day our daily bread. God answered that prayer for us today. I'll eat again when I get home tonight. Don't worry about that. But the Lord is the one that gives you the food that you eat. We don't remember that. We just take it for granted. We really don't. He's the one who guides these women who arrange for our meals at home. And they go there shopping and they pick out this and they pick out that. And the Lord is the one that provides for us our daily bread. Bread is the staff of life. You and I, in him we live, we move, we have our being. We just can't do anything without him, and we should be constantly aware of him. Now, I'm very happy that we do pray, our Father who art in heaven. I'm sick of listening to these other folks praying, our Father and our Mother who art in heaven. And that's what they're adding. It's a part of the changing of the Bible. Beloved, they're changing this Bible so fast, and yet saying they're using it to promote the things that they want to have promoted. But you and I have a Father who is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. What greater prayer could we ask? And he's done it for you today. He's done it for me today. I don't have anybody in my church that's starving. I don't have anybody in my church in very special need. We have a board of deacons that's helped people once in a while when there's some special need. But our Father takes care of us. Not only to take care of us and giving our daily bread, but he's mindful of the fact that we have to have air to breathe, and we have to have all these things. Your Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Well, all right, let's recognize that he does. In fact, he knows that you have need of these things before you've even asked for them. He's fully aware of what's necessary for you and me to exist and carry on our work. Now, with that reality that we have a Father in heaven, when we come to Jesus Christ, you and I ought to be very grateful to Him. You and I ought to be constantly aware of He is the one that's going to provide for us, and He's going to take care of us. Every time we handle our funds, we ought to think of our Father. And not only do we give Him what He asks for, but we make sure, and I've tried to emphasize this, that everything you have, you got from your Father, and we're to use it. We're to use it. That's why we don't think that men that work in the liquor stores and men that are selling liquor are honoring the Lord, and we don't use any of our money to go to the casino or the racetrack. We stay away from those places. We're not wasting our money and that type of thing. We don't believe in it. We think it's sin to do it. And we have certain standards by which we use our money, and these standards we get from our Father in heaven. Give us this day, a daily relationship to our Father that we have here. He says, look at the lilies, and look at the birds, and look at all these things. Your Father takes care of them. Don't you think He's going to take care of you? You're of more value than many sparrows. By the marvelous way that we have, that the Lord's going to take care of. And so we have the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Let Thy name be honored. Let Thy name be exalted. Let Thy name be holy. Let Thy name be precious. Now I thought as I developed this for you tonight, we'd turn to this passage which our church lived on in the early days and which our church must live on now. But I read you for the Scripture tonight that passage in 2 Corinthians, and where you have the great command to be separate. The great command to be separate. And would you turn to that passage? I preach on it every once in a while. But will you turn to that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 6? And you'll notice the reference that he has here to the children. The reference he has here to the children. And the way in which he speaks of us in relationship to Him. And in this sixth chapter of 2 Corinthians, you have a statement here, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters. I am a child of God, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Saith the Lord Almighty. And then he goes on in verse 16, he said, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Next Sunday, the people of God are going to do something in this church for Him. That's the canon. The people of God who come to know God in this ministry, love the Word, love the pastor, love those of us who are leading you in these matters, and they shall be my people. We're the people of God. We're the children of God. We have a relationship to Him that the ordinary man knows nothing about. And furthermore, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to it. I went to that general assembly, or that great assembly of the World Council of Churches, and here were all these denominations, 316 of them now, with the big churches of Europe and Scandinavia and England and the United States. And I look at all these people gathered there, and they had over 4,000 people. And how many of them were born again? Very few of them were. They simply are using the name of Christ, and they're using the church not to do what the Bible says the church must do. Next Sunday we're going to do what the Bible says the church must do. But they weren't. They were doing what their own evil minds wanted the church to do. And they're twisting this great structure. Just think, after 2,000 years, have we come to this? Has the devil gotten in and had his way? Have these unbelieving and ungodly men who don't believe the Bible actually talking in terms of being Christians? Well, they are. And it's a disaster and a calamity. But you and I can tonight say, oh, gracious God, you're our Father. When I read the scripture tonight, I read into that seventh chapter, and it says, having therefore these promises. You mean to say God's got some promises for us to stand on? Standing on the promises. Do you mean God is making some commitments to you and me, and we are to look to Him and say, Lord, you've made the promises, and all your promises in Jesus Christ are yea, amen, they're going to be fulfilled. Seeing you have these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and perfect holiness in the fear of God. In the fear of God. Now, beloved, I want to tell you something. This passage here has been a very special one to us. It's been a very special one to our church, because we have sought to maintain the purity of this gospel. We have sought to defend the integrity and the purity of this book. And we have also sought to maintain the faithfulness of the church to its head. The faithfulness of the church to its head. And its head is the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what it is about this that stayed with me all these years? You know what there is about this that's given your pastor a security and a sense of the faithfulness of God? You know what it is? I will be a father unto you. I will be a father unto you. And there's no father that anybody ever had in any family of any place that can equal this one. This Father blesses us from heaven. This Father created the whole universe. And I will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. And then they have a word there that's meant an awful lot to me. Almighty. Almighty. He said to Abraham, you walk before me and be thou perfect, saith the Lord Almighty. I am the Almighty God. And that means he has all power in heaven and earth to undertake. He has all power in heaven and earth. Now there's one thing that you and I know, that the apostasy of these last days is predicted in the Bible. It's there. We might as well, it's there. We're told in the latter days, many shall depart from the faith. And so many have departed that I'm pretty sure it's the last days. Many shall depart from the faith, and they shall give heed to the Bible? No, to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Did you ever hear any plainer language than that? Did you ever hear anybody telling you that you've been seduced by evil spirits and that you've landed over here from doctrines that came from the devil? That's my Bible. And you and I are witnessing this apostasy. We know, therefore, that these are the last days. Don't you let anybody else tell you that it isn't. It is the last days. Many shall come in my name, he said. They asked him, Lord, tell us, what's the sign of your coming? And when shall these things come to pass? And Jesus said, take heed that no man deceives you and misleads you. Many shall come in my name. That's one of the signs. And I'm just as persuaded of anything that you and I are in the days that the Bible said would come to pass in the last time. You can't argue with it. It's just here. You got two eyes and a couple of ears that can read and see. You understand. Many shall depart from the faith, and they'll give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And when you tell them they're serving the devil, they look at you and want to murder you. My. But what else does it mean? It means that the Lord has told us
that there will be those in the last day. Oh, how he said to Timothy, Timothy, if you'll put the brethren in remembrance of these things, you'll tell the brethren that these spirits are coming and these doctrines of devils are going to show themselves. And if you show these things to the brethren, you put the brethren in remembrance of things, you'll be a good minister. You'll be a good minister. You'll be a pastor of a church like Collingswood. You'll be a good minister. Nourished up. Now listen to this. Nourished up in the words of faith. Nourished up in the words of faith. Where do you get them? These are the words of faith. And of good doctrine. My, oh my. Here's the evil spirits. And here's the doctrines of devils. And here's the good doctrine. Oh, they're just like that. And God has told us that when these awful times take place, there will be those who will be nourished. They'll be fed. They'll be edified in good doctrine. And if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ. That's in the Bible. That tells me the time I'm living in. That tells me what I'm supposed to do. That tells me that we're aware of the fact that in the last days, these unbelievers will be working and deceiving God's people. And there we are. You know, I've been thinking since we've come back of all the things that this little church of ours could do. And we're a tiny little crowd compared to their millions that they have. We're a tiny little crowd compared to the 2 million of the Presbyterians that are still around. We're a tiny little crowd compared to the 9 million of the Methodists that we've got around here that are all in it. And we're a tiny little group compared to the 14 million Southern Baptists down there. We're just a tiny little group. But we're a faithful one, and we've got a Father. We've got a Father. Oh, beloved, I wonder, I marvel at what God's going to do. But God says, I'll be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And God's going to use the testimony of this church in these last days, locally, nationally, and across the world. And God is our Father. Oh, it's wonderful to see His hand. It's wonderful to recognize His providence. It's wonderful that you know that God is not going to leave Himself without a witness. Not going to do it. And when you believe that and when you see that, you get the assurance that underneath are something we call the everlasting arm. Nothing will discourage us. Nothing will turn us back. Nothing will be able to defeat us. We will stand in the name of our God, and we'll lift up our banners, and those banners will be seen, and He'll let them be effective. But God has arranged that in the latter days, when all these are departing from the faith, He's arranged in the latter days that there will be those witnesses to Him that He will use in support of this gospel, in support of this book, and in obedience to this Father whom we have in heaven. And we're a part of it. We're a part of it. I had people come out there and ask me all sorts of questions. One man came to me and says, Mr. Mangtar, who do you think you are? I said, sir, I'm a child of God. He didn't know what to say. He said, who do you think you are? I says, I'm just a preacher of the Word. That's all I am. And that's all we are. But they wonder, who do you think you are? You come out here and put on a demonstration like this. Yes, we're within the bounds of freedom, within the bounds of free speech, and we're out here in the street where we belong, and you've got to put up with us. You've got to face us. And we're in a position where we make these signs up here. My, we had a big sign, Jesus only, and we had another sign, only one gospel. Nothing wrong with those signs. We had another sign, Jesus yes and Muhammad no. We had a sign, Jesus yes and Krishna no. We had Jesus yes and Buddha no. We had another sign, come out and be separate. We had that one out there. They're beautiful signs. Just good old gospel song. Nothing wrong with walking along the street, holding up signs out there. And I had the strangest experience. Maybe I told you about this, but we had one sign. Dialogue is sin. Did I tell you this story? Dialogue is sin. See, they're going to dialogue with these pagan religions, and you come down to their level. Here's a Christian, here's a Buddha, and you're all on the same level, and you discuss things with him, and you get spiritual blessing. We said, dialogue is sin. Out came a fellow to me. I was carrying a sign. He said, Mr. Magatai, don't you know that sign hurts your cause? Hurts our cause. He said, don't you know that all these people in this town will see your sign and they're always dialoguing with people? And they won't understand, he said. I said, sir, who are you? I said, this sign is directed to you. You're in that building. We're out here putting our signs at you. Well, he says, you're hurting yourself by having that sign about dialogue. I said, who are you? He says, I'm a member of the World Council staff. Well, what good are you going to do to help me? All you're trying to do is get the sign out of the way so your people won't see it. That was number one. A little later, here comes another fellow out from the inside. Mr. McIntyre, yes. He says, this sign of yours, you know, that sign is confusing. That sign is confusing. I said, what do you mean? He said, the people of the town. I said, the people of town don't see my sign. My sign is directed at you people in that building. Well, he says, you're hurting your cause. I said, well, who are you? I'm a member of the World Council staff. Well, bless your heart, who sent you out here to get my sign out of the way? And it went on a little further. Here comes a third guy out. Three of them. He comes on, Mr. McIntyre, how are you? I'm just fine. How are you? He says, well, he says, we're a little bit upset by that sign you've got. Dialogue is sin. I said, what do you mean? Oh, he says, don't you realize that people misunderstand that? He says the government dialogues and the town dialogues and the politicians dialogue. I says, I'm not talking to politicians. I'm talking to you people in this WCC. And my sign is to you people. I says, who are you? I'm from Geneva. I'm on the staff. I said, heaven's sakes, this is the third time you've been out here. Who sent you out here to get rid of this sign? Must be bothering you a little bit. Well, of course it was. Oh, beloved, I will be a father unto you, and ye will be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Almighty. If you got the Almighty God back in your church, don't you think some things can happen in it? If you have the Almighty accompanying the gospel you're preaching, don't you think it'll bless somebody's soul? If you've got the Almighty standing for the separated position you've taken, don't you think He can use a little crowd to confound the big crowd? How many people does it take to make a majority? Just one, with God. That's all. And I have a great deal of pleasure of telling these fellows, and I told them out there, I said, this Bible of mine has never been produced by the insights of those people who have it in their hands. This Bible of mine was never put together by a consensus. We sit down and we talk and we draw up a paper and we claim the Holy Spirit gave us that consensus. That's the way they operate out there. Beloved, there's not a book in this Bible that was ever written by a consensus. This Bible was never written by any individual anywhere that didn't get his message from God and not out of his wicked heart. There's not a book in this Bible that was written by a committee of ecumenics. This Bible was written by holy men of God who spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is the Holy Ghost speaking. This is the Holy Ghost writing. This is the Holy Ghost giving faith for a new birth. This is the ministry of the Holy Ghost, which is to exalt and honor the name of Jesus Christ and only that name. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw men to me. That's where you came in. He drew you to Himself. I like that seventh chapter. Whoever wrote these, you know, they tell us that the chapter divisions were written by a man on horseback. He must have fell off at this point. Because the rest of this sixth chapter has the first four verses of chapter 7. Wherefore, dearly beloved, and that's what I'm going to close with tonight. Dearly beloved, seeing you have these promises, let's cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, and let's put the Lord up there where He belongs. My, how wonderful it is to be a servant of Christ, to be a steward of the Lord, and to reach the hearts of people who want to serve God aright, and who want to do the things that will bring glory to God. That will do it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. And there was a passage there in the fifth chapter, the sixth chapter, the last part of the fifth chapter of that Matthew, and I wanted to give you that. It's a very, very interesting statement on the part of our Lord Jesus Christ when He said in verse 48, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Do what He says. Honor His commands. And that's what we've got to do. And if we do it, we'll get a blessing the like of which we won't be able to contain us. That's what God says. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Let us pray. Oh Lord God, tonight, how thankful we are that we have a Father. And our earthly fathers can't compare to Thee, O Lord. Thou hast all power in heaven and earth. And we thank Thee that when we came out as a church on the basis of that great command, "Be ye separate and touch not this unclean thing." Touch it not, Lord. And we thank Thee that we've hewed to these commands. And Father, You've been a Father. Oh, how You've kept us. And oh, how You've sustained us. And oh, how You've tried us and tested us. Oh, how we've been through one problem and one development after another. And Father, we've come through unscathed. And we've come through clear and strong, knowing that the faith is everlasting. And knowing that the Holy Spirit honors this faith and blesses it. Oh, bless us tonight. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen.